This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and thank you, Dave, for this introduction. The War Room where we fight deception and where we tackle subjects no one else tackles. We can do it because we are not paid by anybody, so if people disagree or get upset about the stuff we say, nothing is going to happen, really. So we can really go write down and voice opinions, which may be much more difficult to voice within a church context. Now, the problem we have in our day and age is that very often our paradigm is dictated by a secular agenda. So we've got the secular paradigm, we've got the paradigm of the liberal establishment, and they pump it through the media, and it's day in, day out, and they are telling us what we have to think and what we have to accept. And the problem is that many of us within the church are just falling for the lies which are pumped out of the TV set, which are pumped through the internet, which are pumped through the radio, the newspapers on a daily basis. And they give us phony scientific data. They give us ideas and concepts where very often they stand in defiance of just common sense and logic. And yet they're piping it down and people accept this as a given. It's a real problem. It's a real problem. We as a church, we need to rise up against it. And we need to stand up against false ideas and against very often very destructive ideas which destroy people's lives. Now, we are here for people. We are here for those who have got serious problems in their lives because we know where the answer is. We know where healing can be received to the full amount, where we've got spiritual healing, mental healing, and also physical healing, yeah, supernaturally from the God we serve. And we need to carry this into this world. And it's sometimes very, very difficult, and it's sometimes a very, very touchy subject we have to tackle. But this is why we need a Christian War Room and why we need to be here to pick up what's going on in this world, to pick up the deception that is pumped down our TV sets and through the media, and to oppose it with all we can. And at the moment, we still have got the media available. We've got places like YouTube. We've got places like where we can have podcasts and people can tune into them. We have got access to traditional media as well in a way we've never had it before, where we can buy airtime on radios, where we can go onto TV as well and present a different view. Okay, what we're going to talk about today is the LGBT agenda. So it's the lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, and it's now LGBTQ. Q stands for queer or queering or something. And anyway, so the world is telling us we need to accept this because these people have been made by God. You know, that's what's very often what's pumped down into the church. And we've got like people who come out and Christians who come out and they tell all of us that we need to accept their agenda because that's what they are. And it's God who has made him this way. And then we see the Bible and we find that it's not the way God has made them. We look at the Bible and we find that that God has got a very different destiny for these people. And we need to oppose this. It's as clear as anything else. But again, you know, the world comes along and they see our opposition and they consider us as bigots. They try to dish hate crime on our table and try to drag us into court and try in a militant way, in a fascist way, to try and destroy us for our opinions. Now, my friends, the church, the true church, is not into hating people. The true church is into loving people, into accepting people as well, but also into helping them to walk in the ways of God, the way the Bible has described it. And the Bible has got very clear ideas of our identity, of who we are, what we have been created into, and the life we have to live. Yeah, and if somebody in the world comes along and says, no, this is all rubbish, we have got a different definition of all this. You can do what you want. You can be selfish. You can be promiscuous. You can play with people's emotions. You can have several women. That's not a problem. You can throw them away like a wet towel. That's not a problem either. This is what the world is telling us, you know, that you can do this. But the Bible has got a very different view. You know, you stick with the people. You are faithful. You are committed. You're loving. Yeah, and you do the right thing, you know, and the right thing is sometimes not in your own sinful interest, may I say, or it's not in your own selfish interest, but sometimes the right thing is sacrificial. It's going to cost you, but it's the right thing to do for somebody else. And that is sort of very important that we need to get this across. Yeah. Okay, I've got a gentleman by the name of James White, Dr. James White, and he did a talk about a year ago, actually it's 2 years ago now, in South Africa, I think it's Durban, and we're going to split the talk into two parts, and it's about this issue, and he's sort of looking at it from a biblical perspective. So again, we've got homosexuality, we've got about six scriptures and more, but six direct scriptures in the Bible, which clearly oppose the notion of a homosexual lifestyle, you know? Again, to give you one idea, you know, what's happening, and it's, I find it very, very shocking. I went to a Christian festival a few years ago, and it was a so-called Greenbelt Festival here in England. And I just wanted to check it out. I got some free tickets, so I went there, checked it out, and I was shocked what I saw. It was sort of Christianity mixed in with everything. Yeah? So it was like yoga and meditation and... And then, you know, pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, a lot of it there. And you had like lots of these young bands which were doing some stuff. And everything was about, you know, me, myself, and I, we had a problem and this is our journey and stuff like that. So all this stuff was sort of pretty much on there. And then you had like, oh, we need to embrace the atheists and we need to share with them and we need to applaud them. And a lot of sort of strange stuff. So it was a little bit like, I'm not quite sure, salvation by doing stuff, yeah. And spirituality, any spirituality is okay, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's from one side or the other side. That's the impression you got. Never seen anything like it. I thought it was just apostasy with capital letters all the way through. And one thing I saw as well, there was like a gay church, a church made up of professing homosexuals, and they were sort of parading the homosexuality and, you know, claiming it was okay, it was Christian. Problem is for these people, the Bible is very clear. The Bible is really clear on this stuff. And if you do this, you shouldn't call yourself a Christian, you should call yourself something else. If you want to pursue this lifestyle and still call yourself a Christian, it's an oxymoron. Yeah, you can't do this simply because the Bible is very clear on this issue. Nevertheless, you know, if people want to seek Jesus and if they really love him and they want to walk in his ways, then there's no problem with that. But you just need to abandon the stuff that is not right before God and try to walk in the ways God has described it in the Bible. Okay, that's enough of me. Let's move over to James White. You're listening to BPN Radio. Again, the stuff that's said here on the Christian Ballroom talks may or may not be in accordance with the management of BPN Radio. I have to say this. To indemnify everybody else. So anyway, stay tuned. Listen to James White. Very interesting stuff.
I normally take some time. I will take just a moment to say this. The church has been caught out on this subject because it was a subject that we did not address in previous generations because there are just certain things you don't talk about in the church. And there are certain sins you don't talk about in the church. You know they're there in the Bible, and you just sort of mention them, and you're sort of embarrassed when you have to read through those texts when you go to that part of your Bible reading, and you move on from there. It is very true that the non-Christian view of marriage that many of us have embraced because of our culture is also behind why the church has been so ineffective in its response to the rise of the LGBT, and I hate using those terms. I hate using the term the homosexual community or the LGBT community, because I don't believe you define communities on the basis of very, very different things. Male homosexuality is very different than female homosexuality, which is very different than bisexuality, which is massively different than transgenderism. And nobody on this planet knows what the Q means anyways. Seriously. Is it queer? That used to be a term they would use. Is it questioning? What does any of that mean? Nobody has a clue. It depends. It's completely dependent upon the person who's using it as to what meaning they're going to put into it. How do you define a community based upon vastly different things like that? It really doesn't have any meaning, but no one seems to want to talk about that. It's just the idea of erotic freedom and our ability as human beings to define who we are in abject rebellion against the reality around us. In my land, there is a man by the name of Bruce Jenner who has decided he's a female. And in fact, I just found out as I was traveling down here that he is going to appear nude, wrapped in an American flag on the cover of Sports Illustrated, wearing the gold medal he won in the decathlon in 1976 as a man, but as a woman. Now, this represents the pinnacle of human autonomy. Human autonomy. Because now we're being told that you're just artificially assigned a gender at birth. Now, I remember when my kids were born, and that doctor, as soon as that baby came out, said, you got yourself a little boy. And with the second child, you got yourself a little girl. And now we're being told that they shouldn't do that. We're actually being told that you shouldn't tell your child what they are. Let them find out for themselves. Wonderful. Are any of these people parents? It's shocking, but what is behind all of this? What is behind all of this? There is a fundamental rebellion in the secular worldview. There's a verse we're not projecting this yet anyways, so I can go ahead and go up there. There is a verse in Psalm 12. And in Psalm, the 12th Psalm is one of my favorites, especially in this day, because it ends with the cogent observation, the wicked strut around when what is vile is exalted amongst the people. When what is vile is exalted in a society, the wicked strut about and they're proud in their wickedness. But before you get to that, verse 4, have you ever noticed Psalm 12, 4? Verse 4 includes this question on the lips of the rebellious. Who is Lord over us? Who is Lord over us? Can you just hear the insolence of the rebellious? It goes on to say, our lips are ours. In other words, we will say what we want to say. We have no one ruling over us. This is the very essence of human autonomy. And that's what we're experiencing in our societies today. That's what we're experiencing in our societies today. It is the logical outgrowth of the secular worldview that there is no objective truth, even to the point of even though scientifically 99.999% of all human beings either have an XX or XY chromosome. Maybe that's what we have to put on the doors now, XX, XY. That's what you put on the doors to the restrooms. There is a tiny percentage of people who have a genetic abnormality of that particular chromosome, and those people should be welcomed amongst us, and every effort should be made to assist them in dealing with the physical difficulty that is theirs. But I can guarantee you there is nothing genetically wrong with Bruce Jenner. Has nothing to do with genetics at all. It has to do with the idea that despite the reality of my genetics, between my ears, I identify as X, Y, or Z. And it is literally X, Y, or Z. I mean, there are people who identify, well, you've seen the 52-year-old man that identifies as a 6-year-old little girl and has been adopted by a family and wears little dresses and skips around, and he's a father. Can you imagine his children? It's amazing. But this is the logical outcome of viewing ourselves as uncreated, as masters of the world around us. I can identify as anything. And I think as we deal with this issue, we need to remember a couple things. First of all, the church has been compromised. For many in theological education, there is no consistent biblical teaching on sexuality because there's no consistent biblical teaching on anything. But be aware, even those who admit there is a consistent sexual ethic from Genesis to Revelation, and on this subject there really isn't any question. Anybody who wants to actually be honest with the text will come to that conclusion. There has even arisen a movement called revisionism. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little clip for you. I mentioned this either this morning or last night when they all start melding together, maybe both. This is the Fuller Seminary professor. And this is the debate, I mentioned it this morning, that I attended the day after I got back from being here last September. And I want you to listen. I'm going to put the microphone down over the speakers, so hopefully this will work. It normally does. I want you to listen to what this man says. Here's his argument. This is why the church should embrace homosexuality as a gift from God, and why the church should embrace homosexual marriage and everything else. Here's why we should do so. This is a new move of the Spirit of God. And just as the Spirit of God moved to allow us bring the Gentiles into the church, which, by the way, was prophesied in the Old Testament. But anyway, just as the Spirit led us to do that, now in our day the Spirit is leading us to change this and to bring homosexuality into the church and so on and so forth, just as Gentiles were brought in. And how do you make that work? Well, here is, I'll just let you listen to it and you'll see.
What I'm saying is this, that God is doing something now. That to say we have gay and lesbian, bisexual sisters, brothers, and other siblings is to say God is giving his Spirit in a way that we have to see, recognize, and respond to. God is doing this now in the 21st century. It's the time that was given to us. The flip side of that coin is this isn't what God did in the first century. And I might wish, as somebody who's now open and affirming, that God had done so that the New Testament evidence might be more explicit. But I would also say it was no more wrong for Paul to be a first century Jew than it's wrong for us to be 21st century Christians. But it might be wrong for us to continue saying the things that Paul had to say as a first century Jew. And it might be wrong for us to say even the things that Jesus probably thought as a first century Jew, because it was not in their day that the church was given the gift and the responsibility of responding to the fact that there are gay and lesbian sisters and brothers, children of God, right here alongside us.
So there's the voice of revisionism. There is the voice of a professor. Now Fuller did deny him tenure, but they didn't fire him. They're allowing him to continue teaching there at Fuller Theological Seminary. We have to have a solid foundation. We have to have a positive foundation. Last summer, I appeared on CNN's Dr. Drew show twice, once by Skype. I realized that was not the way to be on a program because they can just talk over you and nobody will ever hear you. So when they invited me on a second time to talk about the transgender issue and Bruce Jenner, I flew over to Los Angeles and was in studio, which made them very uncomfortable because they couldn't talk over me nearly as much. And you could just tell, it was sort of like, oh, we have a freak amongst us. Think about it, folks. I was the freak, and I was surrounded by transgenders. and I'm the freak. That's what's going on in our culture today. Is the Christian minister is the weird person in our culture today. But one of the things I attempted to do in the first program when I was on via Skype was to lay a foundation as to Jesus' authority to address the subject of human sexuality. And I wasn't given really much of an effort, opportunity to do so, but I did at least have the opportunity of directing people to Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 19. And from my perspective, if you have just a few moments, rather than going to one of the six very clear passages in the Bible that address the subject of homosexuality. Now, the homosexuals call them the clobber passages. There are more than six places where the subject of homosexuality comes up in the Bible. But these are the six that are pretty much undisputed that it is made reference to. And I will admit, I've admitted many times, I finished my first degree, my first graduate degree, with, you know, graduating from seminary, I could not have told you what these six verses were, because that was 1989, and it just wasn't yet the issue that it has become so quickly since then. And I wonder how many of us sitting here today, how many of you sitting here today would feel very confident that you could identify what the six texts in the New Testament on the subject of homosexuality are, just off the top of your head. Anybody? I know the moderator of the debate with Graham Codrington had better be able to do that. Probably about maybe one person. Entire books have been written seeking to revise the understanding of even those texts, and yet most Christians don't know which those texts are anyway. So we are behind the curve. There's absolutely no two ways about it. But even knowing what those six are, we're going to look at them briefly, but even knowing them, those should not be the first texts we're going to. We need to present to the world a positive Christian view of human sexuality and marriage before we get to the negative. And those are the negative side. Unfortunately, we've primarily focused upon just a couple of those, and that's why the world just simply views the church as quote-unquote anti-gay, rather than having a positive message, which is based on the authority of Jesus Christ. Because you'll hear all the time, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Right? Ever heard anybody say that? Said all the time. Anybody who says that doesn't have a clue, does not have a clue about Jesus' teaching. Because there was never a Jew before Jesus, during the days of Jesus, or for a millennium after Jesus, that ever questioned the fundamental understanding that the Mosaic Law condemned homosexuality as a grievous sin in the sight of God and a total forfeiture of the covenant. Not a one. Nobody. Absolutely not a single person. And so every time Jesus extolled God's law, said that the least in the kingdom of heaven is the one who teaches anyone to break the least of these commandments, he was repeating the exact perspective that the Jewish people had always held. But he also spoke positively. And so in Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 4, some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Let me just stop there for a moment. Have you not read? Sounds familiar. We talked about that last night. Remember Matthew 22? Have you not read what God spoke to you? Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? Maleness and femaleness is a good gift from God. To reject that is to reject the goodness of fatherhood, the goodness of motherhood, to empty words like husband, wife, father, mother, groom, bride, of any meaning whatsoever. God intended us to be made male and female. But if you're raised in a secular worldview, maleness and femaleness is just simply the arbitrary reproduction method that our particular undirected line of evolution happened to have taken. It's not a gift. It's not good. It's not bad. It's irrelevant. Has no meaning. That's why it can be abandoned. That's why it can be replaced by 45 different gender types on Facebook. Because you don't have a creator. There's no meaning to any of this. Once you die, you're dust. It's all over with. Don't worry about it. Once you have that kind of worldview, everything else goes along the way. He who created them, a society without a creator, will not place value upon the creation. And certainly when that creation represents the creator and his good gifts and purposes for mankind. And so it's easy to understand why we're seeing what we're seeing today is we're starting to see the full-blown results of generational secularism and generational acceptance of the idea that we are simply evolved animals. Now, I won't even say highly evolved because high assumes a direction. And if you know anything about evolutionary theory in its fullest form, there is no direction. There is no directionality. There is no purpose. It has to be completely random for it to be true micromutational evolutionary theory. So he who created them from the beginning, that is, his purpose has always been that they are male and female, and said for this reason, and by the way, Jesus is quoting from that very disputed text in Genesis 1 and 2, and said for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And so here you have the incarnate Son of God's interpretation of God's purpose in creation. It involves the goodness of human sexuality, male and female. It involves the establishment of the very first human institution by God, the family. You have father and mother. You have the natural outcome of that being children. Now, I realize there are some couples that can't have children. And what has the biblical view always been of that? That that's not a good thing. The natural thing is to have children. It's amazing that we live in a land today where no one thinks about the future. No one feels the slightest concern about raising up the next generation. It's all about me. It's all about my fulfillment and my happiness. And again, that fits the secular worldview because why should you care about what comes behind you? How's that going to improve anything for you? I mean, there's no evolutionary benefit for you. It just doesn't make any sense. But that's the situation we face today. And so here you have Jesus' own words that the family is established by God. It is natural for there to be the children that result from this union. And the man leaves his father and mother, he's joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. That is not limited solely to sexual union, but it cannot abandon that or ignore that either. It is a part of what is in view in both the Genesis narrative and then in Jesus' interpretation, because he's answering the divorce question. And he says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to, specifically the Pharisees here, were trying to drag Jesus into a dispute of their day. There were two schools, that is, the schools of Shammai and Hillel, and one school believed that you could divorce your wife for any reason whatsoever. And the other said that there had to be a specific fault, a violation of the covenant of marriage, something serious in her for you to do this. And, of course, the woman did not have a right in that culture to divorce the husband for pretty much any reason whatsoever. Jesus' answer drives straight to the heart of the matter, the God-ordained original creation-mandated purpose and form of marriage.
Okay, we're going to carry on with the talk by James White tomorrow, the next session here. In the Christian War Room, thanks for listening and God bless. Tune in again tomorrow when we carry on with James White. God bless and bye-bye from BPN Radio.